Please lower your head and watch your step while boarding.
Welcome to the Attractions Podcast. See where all clear for dispatch. Have fun.
Hello and welcome everyone to episode 125 of the Attractions Podcast, sponsored by Destinations with Character Travel. I'm Seth.
And I'm Matt.
And we are here to talk to you about the latest and greatest in theme park news and more, as well as what's going on in our own lives. Matt, how have you been this past week?
I've been doing pretty good. I made it out to Epcot for the Festival of the Arts again. My wife Jackie's first time out. We checked out some of the art and ate our way around the countries, of course. And
do you have a favorite food that you tried?
Oh, geez. I can't even remember what I tried. It was all good, but
it's all beautiful. They do such a great job of plating. Personally, my favorite so far has been the bone marrow that they have over by Canada.
Didn't sound good to me.
Oh my God. It's like meat jello. It's it's not for vegetarians. Let's put it that way.
I had the deconstructed key lime pie. That was very good.
Nice.
I it's deconstructed. So you got your crust over here and your filling over here. So I put it all together in a spoonful, but my wife ate them separately. I'm like, why'd you do that? She's like, it's deconstructed. I can. So
it's just going to be reconstructed in your stomach.
True.
That's great. I had a great week too. I got to stop by Disney's Hollywood Studios, did a little experiment to see how many Genie Plus Lightning Lane rides I could squeeze in an evening. And I managed to arrive at the park like at 3 o'clock. And by the end of the night, I did every single ride in the park. So nice. Genie Plus is still kind of a pain in the neck, but if you learn the system, you can make it work for you. And I also got to head over yesterday and get a VIP tour of Deserland, which is on International Drive. It used to be called Artigan, and it was Festival Bay before that. And now it is one of the world's largest private car museums, with an absolutely incredible display of James Bond cars that were used in the movies. So if you're looking for a half-day activity, you don't want to burn a whole ticket for a day in the theme park, that's a great option in the area.
That's a great place to go for a rainy day as well.
And absolutely.
Arcade in there and go-karts and the movie theater's still there. And
pinball. Yep. A lot of great options. All right. Well, without any further ado, let's get to the news. All right, for the first item in the news, a limited time Universal Monsters store is now open at Universal Orlando. If you are a fan of the Universal classic monsters like Dracula and Wolfman, you are going to be very excited because the store at the exit to the Revenge of the Mummy ride, which is currently closed for refurbishment until summer, is now temporarily been turned into a tribute to the Creatures of the Night. Matt, have you got a chance to check this out?
I haven't. I looked at our photos and videos my son Quinn took for us, and it looks pretty cool. I want to go in there and maybe some photo ops for some selfies and stuff. I assume it'll go away this summer when they get ready to redo the store as an actual ride exit again.
Yes, they have not announced an actual date for this store, but we expect that when the Mummy gets closer to reopening, which is scheduled for this summer, then that will shut down and turn back into a traditional ride gift shop. But for now, you've got these amazing statues of the Creature of the Black Lagoon and the Wolfman and the Phantom of the Opera that you can definitely take selfies with, a lot of neat merchandise. There's even an artist there. And you can get a caricature made. You can get yourself turned into a Universal Classic Monster.
Nice.
So if you are a fan of the tribute stores that they normally do in the New York area for different seasonal events, we're getting we have a Mardi Gras tribute store that's we're going to get to check out. But this is done by a lot of the same people, and it's got the same level of detail. Really a great little attraction to check out next time you're in the park.
Definitely.
Next up, this is a little creepy and interesting. Mobile security robots will soon be patrolling theme parks. We are all used to robots like Baymax and Wally and Optimus Prime in the theme parks. Now the robots are going to work. A company is introducing mobile security bots called Romeo, ROAMEO, which stands for Rugged Observation Assistance Mobile Electronic Officers. And they're going to be showing up this week at Six Flags Magic Mountain in California and next week at Six Flags over Texas. Additional units are coming on to the different Six Flags parks. And these are not going to completely replace the security team, but they're going to do things like identify vehicles or read license plates in the parking lots to free up the human security guards to do more work. What's your thought on this?
Well, if you're not watching the video version, it's not a robot like you would think, like a robot. It doesn't walk on two legs. It's more like a big, I don't know, how a big cart, I guess you'd describe it.
It almost looks like a little smart car, with a little bubble on top.
Kind of like a kiosk on wheels. And I guess you can ask it wait times or check them on the screens, but it's also going to be looking for people who are backstage where they shouldn't be. I don't know how it's going to identify who's supposed to be there and who's not.
At least initially, you're not going to see these guys roaming around inside the parks during park hours. Initially, these are going to be used in the parking lots and also inside the parks after they've closed for the day to guests. Okay. But apparently, they are capable of functions that have not yet been unlocked. And as they learn to use them and fine-tune them, new features may become available through these touch screens that are on the outside. They've showed these guys off at IAPA back in 2021, I believe. It's the future is now. the future, it's coming for us.
I guess they're, like you say, they're starting at Six Flags in California and Texas, and then I saw the Orlando Sentinel did a story on this, and they asked if they're coming to Orlando, and they wouldn't. They said they hope to have them in Orlando. Of course, no talk about it, and nobody's confirmed anything. But I would guess you may see them at the SeaWorld parks before you'd see them like at Disney or anything. Mm-hmm. But they're pretty cool.
Keep an eye open. They're coming for you. Disney, I know some people, someone on our staff especially, was very excited about this one. Disney is finally selling the iconic Hercules travel mug, Herculade. If you remember the Disney cartoon animated feature Hercules, there was a memorable moment that has been turned into a GIF of a travel mug, a souvenir merchandising mug for Hercules, a little sippy straw. And this is one of those obvious things that you think they would have made real life ones to buy for years. But no, they are finally available after all of these years. they look just like in the movie. Looks like the price on them is $22.99. I know Theron, who's our reporter, was super excited about this. What's your thought? Did you buy one?
I didn't even remember him from the movie, so I wasn't too excited about it. He told me he wanted to write about it. I'm like, why do you want to write about a cup again? tell me more about this. But it sounds really cool, and I guess McDonald's had a version of it at some point years ago, but this is a more fully fleshed out version, I guess.
I think Hercules was one of those movies that maybe underperformed a little when it first came out. It didn't, you know, have the huge success of like an Aladdin or a Beauty and the Beast, and kind of became a little bit of a cult thing. But it's definitely made a comeback, as we point out in the article. You can hear music from Hercules in numerous Disney nighttime spectaculars, such as the new Harmonious over at Epcot. So if you want to grab one of these mugs and sip on it while watching Harmonious, go the distance.
Yeah,
we're there for you.
I haven't seen the mugs in the parks yet, so I don't know if they're coming to the parks. So if you want one, be sure to get it on Shop Disney, I guess.
Yep. Next up, Universal Studios Hollywood is celebrating Lunar New Year with a Noodle House debuting on February 1st. So that was just a few days ago, celebrating the Asian Lunar New Year with the Year of the Tiger. You know, it's interesting. Universal Studios Hollywood was kind of ahead of the curve. They've been offering some Lunar New Year celebrations with special character meet and greets for several years. This year, they actually cut back their celebrations They're not having a special entertainment, but they are going all out with some Noodle House themed food and merchandise this month. Our friend Eric O is out there in California, and I know he sampled the long life noodle soup with tempura fried shrimp and shrimp cakes, and he said it was really tasty.
Good. Yeah, it's interesting that they aren't doing much besides the food this year, but I don't know if that's pandemic related or staffing issues.
It's interesting because Disneyland over in California Adventure is really, doubled down on their Lunar New Year celebration this year. And they brought out Raya from Raya and the Last Dragon. Mm-hmm. They have a lion dance for the first time there. Universal went a little more subtle, but apparently they've got a new executive chef who was recently hired at Universal Hollywood. And I guess they are the ones leading the charge for these new special foods just for this month. You can also get some shrimp and vegetable shumai, vegetable egg rolls, even some desserts like some special fortune cookies. So
yeah, we were hoping Mr. Ping would at least make an appearance again.
They had a puppet Mr. Ping a few years ago, much like the puppet donkey that they have for meet and greet. I do wish he would come back.
I haven't seen any sign of him yet this year, so
yeah. All right, and next up, Disney is celebrate soulfully. Boy, let's try this one again. Disney's Celebrate Soulfully honors Black Heritage Month.
There you go.
Celebrate Soulfully is returned to Walt Disney World for February. It honors Black Heritage Month through music, art, food, and more. And for the first time ever, the event will also take place at the Disneyland Resort in Anaheim. As part of Black Heritage Month, part of February, they're highlighting Black art, Black culture, Black food throughout the Disney parks. Some of them are things that are there all the time, such as in Disney's Animal Kingdom. You can see the Tam Tam Drummers of Harambe and enjoy the Festival of the Lion King show. But there are also some special things going on specifically for February. In Disney Springs here in Orlando, there's Motown Jazz, R&B, and pop concerts happening at Disney Springs for free. And in Disneyland, they're having a Celebrate Gospel concert series at the Fantasyland Theater stage. And that's taking place February 19th and 26th, along with another number of other activities taking place.
Yeah, I think, like you said, a lot of this is stuff that is year-round. They're just highlighting it this year. It seems like most of the new things that they're doing are at Disney Springs and Downtown Disney and consist of food and music.
Mm-hmm. I will say, if you're looking for something sweet, stop by Disney Springs Amaret's Patisserie and the Ganacherie, because they've got some special treats inspired by Soul and Princess of the Frog. So that sounds pretty tasty.
Yeah, you can always find something good to eat in there.
Mm-hmm. And finally, one last thing to keep in mind for that is if you are in Walt Disney World at Epcot, the Soul of Jazz exhibit, I highly recommend that. It's in the lobby of the American Adventure Pavilion, and it's got some really important historical artifacts from the history of jazz. And that exhibit is actually portions that have been touring the country. All right. Next up, this one is a coaster that I would love to try, but I don't think I'm going to be making it onto it anytime soon. Roaring Timbers wooden roller coaster has roared to life in Sun World Park as Vietnam's first and only wooden roller coaster. Roaring Timbers takes place over the tropical hillside terrain of Sun World Hon Tam Nature Park in Vietnam. Which is on an island just off the coast of Cambodia, I believe. This is a pretty big deal because it's part of the park's first phase Exotica expansion, which will eventually include three new attractions along with food, beverage, and entertainment. But this is the first wooden roller coaster in the country of Vietnam.
Yeah, and for those of you like us who aren't probably going to get to ride it anytime soon, we have a POV video showing the whole ride on our YouTube and on our website. And if you look at that photo right there, for those of you on our live stream, it's looks like a beautiful park. It's like on Oceanside and lots of trees. And I think it said something about you have to take some kind of cable car over to get to the park.
Yeah. Gorgeous landscaping in a tropical, almost jungle-like environment. And this is a pretty serious coaster. You've got its maximum height is only 106 feet, which is decent for a wooden coaster, but not massive. Top speed of 50 miles an hour. But it's nearly 3,000 feet of track. And you get G-forces up to 3.5. That's one. If you're in Southeast Asia and you want to pick up a credit, go check this one out.
Yep.
Next up, world's largest bounce house is coming to Orlando, and I was a little too excited when I read this. The Big Bounce America 2022 tour is making its way to Orlando, more specifically Kissimmee. It's bringing with it the world's largest bounce house at over 13,000 square feet. Guinness Book of World Records has certified this as the world's largest bounce house. And it's going to be taking over Osceola Heritage Park in Kissimmee, February 25th, 26th, and 27th. And it's got four enormous inflatable attractions that you and your kids can bounce around in.
Yeah, it's and if you can't catch it in Orlando, I think it's in Tampa as well, and all over the country. It's touring around. So if you head to our website, you can link to their site and check out where it's going to be, maybe near you. One thing to note, it does have all these different sections. I clicked through to their website, and if you want to do all of them, you get a 3-hour window to do all of them. Mm-hmm. But it is kind of pricey. It would end up being $40 per person to do all of them unlimited. Yep. You can just do a certain section if you want, and it's a little cheaper. I think it's down to $19 if you just do one.
I don't think I could handle 3 hours. I think about 30 minutes, and I would just be exhausted. These are normal, and you know, there's it's not just randomly bouncing around. There's a sports themed area where you can you have goals and nets and hoops, and you can battle with your family. And there's also enormous obstacle course. I think one thing that is really cool, when you check the calendar for this, you can buy tickets based on age range. So if you've got little toddlers, or you've got, you know, grade school age kids, or you've got older kids, they've separated those out. So, you know, the little kids aren't going to get smashed by the big kids. And there's also adult only times. So if you're a grown up and you want to be free to just go nuts and not worry that you're going to injure some toddler, sign up for one of those adult only times. You can check it out on their website at thebigbounceamerica.com. All right. This is, I know, going to be really exciting for some fans of this show. An immersive Game of Thrones studio tour is bringing the world of Westeros to Northern Ireland. If you are familiar with the Harry Potter studio tours that Warner Brothers has done, this is something very similar based around the HBO series Game of Thrones. In Northern Ireland, started on February 4th, so yesterday as we're recording this, a 110,000 square foot exhibit packed with props and costumes that were used in the series, behind the scenes experiences, and other ways to immerse yourself in the world of Westeros.
And like the Harry Potter exhibit, this is actually where they filmed the show. Mm-hmm. So you'll be on the actual sets, not just recreations. And then I think there's also a guide to where they filmed all around that area as well, if you want to travel out on your own to go to some of the outdoor locations where they shot as well.
Yeah, this exhibit is at the Linen Mill Studios, where a lot of the filming was originally done. And the whole Belfast area, they've got kind of, you know, a guide that will help you find a lot of the locations where scenes were shot. You'll also get to see costumes such as this fur coat worn by actress Emilia Clarke in season 7. I have not gotten a chance to do any of the Harry Potter studio tours. I got to do the little touring one that came through Orlando. But are you a Game of Thrones fan? Is this something that you would do if you had?
Yeah, we they filmed there mostly, but they also filmed in Dubrovnik, and we were there on a cruise stop a few years ago, and took a tour. It was a third party tour, but they took you to all the filming locations in Croatia where they filmed, and that was pretty cool. So, but I'd love to go there and, you know, be on the actual sets. And I have done the Harry Potter one in England, and it's just amazing. I mean, here at Universal, you can go stand in Diagon Alley, and you know, it looks just like you're there. But when you stand on the actual Diagon Alley, and you know, think this is where the actor stood, and this is actually, you know, what was filmed, it's just a different experience.
If you are interested in doing this, tickets start at $44.41 for adults. They're discounts for kids and seniors. And you can get more information by visiting GameOfThronesStudioTour.com. If we're going to travel all the way to Vietnam and Ireland, we might as well also stop by Shanghai Disney Resort, where they are also celebrating the Lunar New Year and the Year of the Tiger with authentic... the Year of the Tigger with authentic customs, experiences, and of course, Tigger too. It started in February, beginning of February, runs through February 16th. So you've got a little bit more time to hop a plane and head on out, check that out. You're going to find traditional experiences throughout the resort, including performances, activities, decorations, and of course, food and merchandise.
You know, I've heard that Tigger is not a tiger. He's a Tigger, and that's a unique thing. But here they're kind of saying that Tigger is a tiger. So.
Well, he's friends with the tigers.
You know? Or he's the Tigger variety of a tiger, and he's a one of a kind.
Yeah. Well, he's going to be celebrating with his pals in exclusively designed new spring festival costumes. So this is your chance to get a photo with a unique character. In addition, he's going to be helping Mickey and Minnie lead a 2022 spring festival drum ceremony to start off every morning. And that takes place in the Gardens of Imagination, where guests can watch an authentic line dance.
Nice.
All right. There are a lot of other activities going on through the 16th, including nightly fireworks, Spring Festival Carnival in Disneytown, and Dragon Parade performances. So head on over to Shanghai Disney Resort's website, or check in with Destinations with Character Travel, and maybe they can help you planning a trip out there.
That's true. I don't know if you can go there yet, but once you can,
it might be long-term planning. Silver Dollar City's biggest entertainment year ever is coming. Silver Dollar City in Branson, Missouri, has declared 2022 is going to be their quote biggest entertainment year ever. And it sounds like they're backing that up, because they've got 8 different festivals that are going to be running from April through December. This includes, we could be here all day if we go into the details of every single one.
Right. Just
briefly, they're starting out in April with a Silver Dollar City Street Festival with performers, stilt walkers, and of course, food from around the world. May brings a bluegrass and barbecue festival. Looks like they've got some delicious ribs and corn on the cob for that one. National Kids Fest is coming in June and July. And to be honest, I thought at most theme parks every day is National Kids Day.
Yeah, I don't know. If you read the details on that one, it doesn't really say much about what's happening besides kids going to come out and ride the roller coasters. So I think some of these are in the preliminary stages, and maybe they have some details to come on that.
Yeah, they are going to have some concerts during that time, including the Ozark Mountain Daredevils and Newsboys. Moonlight Madness is happening in July and August, and that's going to give you a chance to ride their roller coasters after dark. Southern Gospel Picnic in August and September is going to bring fried chicken, homemade ice cream, and gospel music to the Echo Hollow area. Country Music Days in September, more details on that to come later. they're doing a harvest festival, not a full-on Halloween festival, but they are going to have thousands of carved, sculpted pumpkins lighting up the park, along with live music and craft demonstrations. And then finally, they wrap up in November and December with an old-time Christmas. Have you been to Silver Dollar City, Matt?
I have. I went for the opening of one of their coasters, and the video you can see on the screen that's with our story there, Banks riding a coaster.
Yeah, we can see Banks riding their coaster right there.
We filmed that there, and I think we did a live stream from there. I want to go back for their Christmas event because soon after Disney got rid of the lights, Osborne lights, Silver Dollar City started a festival that looked very similar, exact some of the things. It turns out they didn't get the lights from Disney. That is something they did on their own, but you definitely can see that Osborne lights were an inspiration for their show.
Yep.
So I'd love to get out there and check that out.
Yeah, this is on my bucket list. One of these days I need to do kind of a Southeast Midwest tour from Dollywood, Silver Dollar City, all these parks.
Yeah, and then the coaster we were out there for was a lot of fun. They have a ton of fun coasters there, too.
And now heading out to the West Coast, I had a little bit of deja vu when I first read this. Mardi Gras parties its way into SeaWorld San Diego. Now, we have talked about Mardi Gras at SeaWorld San Antonio. We've talked about Mardi Gras at SeaWorld Orlando. Now we are talking about SeaWorld San Diego kicking off their first ever Mardi Gras celebration today, February 5th, as we're recording this right now. It's happening every Saturday and Sunday from February 5th through the 27th, plus the 18th and the 21st. And in addition to live music, Creole food, colorful costumes, they are going to have a parade, which is something that not all the SeaWorld parks are doing. They've got a Bourbon Street. And they're going to have a twice daily parade that guests can actually participate and join in walking alongside the performers.
Yeah, I forget which festival it was. One of the festivals, I think it was the one going on seafood festival here in Orlando. They had like a Mardi Gras area. I think one of the photos on our website, I think that top one might actually be from Orlando, but
it gets hard to tell. It all blurs together.
But so they had that sign up there in Orlando as well. And so this will be a full out Mardi Gras celebration. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they would do it in Orlando since Universal does it so well down the street.
I feel like Universal's got the market cornered on that, though. Is it San Antonio that is doing a Sesame Street Mardi Gras parade? I feel like that could be a good niche that SeaWorld here could go after. Anyway, all the food, all the po' boys. They've even got lobster po' boys, which sounds pretty upscale. And of course, you got to get your beignets and your king cake. They've got it all, along with all of the hurricanes, juleps, frozen drinks. So head on over to SeaWorldSanDiego.com. And of course, all that is included in your regular park admission at that park.
Yep, sounds like a good one.
And let's wrap up the news in the queue with one last item. Disneyland Resort hotel guests can now exercise inside Disney's California Adventure Park. This is something that started up recently. They did things like this in years past. It got shut down around COVID time, but it's back now. You can now get your steps in during a Disneyland vacation even earlier in the morning, because new group fitness classes are offering Disneyland on-site resort hotel guests a way to kick off their day in the parks with an in-park boot camp workout or other exercise class inside Disney's California Adventure Park. These classes are being organized by the Tenaya Stone Spa, which recently opened at the Disney's Grand Californian. You have to be staying either at the Californian, the Paradise Pier, or the Disneyland Hotel in order to sign up for one of these, and they cost $25 each. Different classes are offered on different days, but you can do yoga, you can do a jog around the park, you can do kind of a boot camp, military-style fitness workout inside the park. And these generally take place about 45 minutes before things open up in the morning. Matt, do you think this is something you're going to sign up for on your next stay at the Disneyland Resort?
I don't know. I might. I'm not too into fitness and working out early in the morning, but some of them sounds cool because you get to go run around the park before it opens. I mean,
I think the idea of like being able to power walk or, you know, just hang out and stretch in the park when right. it's completely deserted and when you're the only people in there that'd be a really neat opportunity.
Yeah, us as reporters have been in the parks plenty mm-hmm. of times without it being open, but regular guests never have that opportunity. So this yeah. is a unique opportunity, and it doesn't give prices yet, so I don't know what.
Yeah, actually, if you head over to their website, if you click through on the Tenaya Spa's website, they do have a calendar now, and the classes are $25 each, at least for right now. It's not bad at all. Not bad at all. So yeah, if you are into fitness or you just want to see what the park looks like before it wakes up in the morning, you might want to schedule that on your next trip. Okay, well, we have completed the news in the queue, but before we get into this week's main attraction, let us hear a quick word from our sponsor.
Here at Destinations with Character Travel, we offer the best experience with your travels. Need to visit the thrilling Disneyland Resort, Walt Disney World? Maybe lounge about on a Disney cruise or any other major cruise line? No problem. So if you're looking for a stress and hassle-free vacation, visit us at www.destinationswithcharacter.com. Contact us today and let us plan a magical vacation for you and your family.
It's time for the main attraction!
Okay, the big news this week is that SeaWorld Entertainment may buy Cedar Fair Parks for $3.4 billion.
That is crazy news.
I feel like I've got my ear to the ground, but this came out of pretty much nowhere for me. SeaWorld Entertainment, which is the parent company of SeaWorld and Busch Gardens theme parks throughout the United States, has made a massive $3.4 billion offer to buy Cedar Fair and its 12 amusement parks. This was originally reported by Bloomberg. There's been additional reporting by various news outlets. Apparently, this is real because we've seen some acknowledgement from Cedar Fair confirming that they've received the offer. The last I heard, they were reviewing it and they didn't seem too happy with it. They felt like it was low and that they could get a better offer.
I don't think they officially said that, but I think that's the consensus. Yeah. And yeah. I think they did get a better offer years ago by Six Flags and turned it down.
Yes.
Of course, things are different now and it's a different situation after the pandemic. But if you're not familiar with Cedar mm-hmm. Fair, it's Cedar Park, it's Knott's Berry Farm, Canada's Wonderland, King's Dominion, Carowinds, and a few other parks as well.
Yeah. I mean, if you were to combine SeaWorld and Cedar Fair, you would basically have something that would rival or maybe even pass Universal and come pretty close to Disney in terms of total number of visitors worldwide, you think?
Well, and it may rival Six Flags and parks as
yeah.
well.
I mean, that those two companies combined, I mean, both of them are major players, but if they were merged, that would be huge news in the theme park business. The interesting thing is, it was not too long ago that SeaWorld's share price was, you know, in the garbage, and people were talking about SeaWorld being the one getting bought out.
That's what I was going to say.
Over the last couple of years, SeaWorld's, they've had a lot of instability with management. They seem to go through a new CEO every 6 weeks or so, but it has not stopped their share price from recovering. With news of this, made share prices in Cedar Fair jump. SeaWorld's share prices jump. So whichever one of you of them, I hope you bought in before this, because if you had stock in them, you're probably going to make a little bit of money off of this. Do you think it would do to the culture, the feeling of the Cedar Fair parks if they were purchased by SeaWorld? Because personally, I mean, it's been many years since I went to King's Dominion, which was where I went where I went to college in Virginia. But I am a big fan of Knott's Berry Farm, and it has a very special feel to it that I feel is much different than the vibe of a Busch Gardens or a SeaWorld.
Yeah, I would hope they don't touch it too much. I would hope that they would kind of leave it alone and run the way it's been running. I don't see them. I don't see them. Definitely don't see them adding, you know, SeaWorld type things to the parks. They're not going to add aquariums all of a sudden or anything like that.
No.
The Busch Gardens parks are different than that. So I'd hope that they'd leave it alone. But I like you, I was expecting Cedar Fair to buy SeaWorld, not the opposite.
Not the other way around.
Yeah, so I know a lot of people are, some people are happy about it. A lot of people are not happy about it if it were to go through. Just worried that what would happen if it did go through. And I know some people, you know, not happy with the way SeaWorld runs things. And of course, SeaWorld has their own haters because of all the animals. And I'm sure those people would really not be happy about it.
Yeah, this is whatever happens, this is not going to be something that happens immediately. I'm sure there's going to be back and forth over the purchase price. And I would not be surprised if government regulators took a look into this. You know, normally we don't hear about antitrust in the theme park business, but this would really give the combined company a lot of leverage. You know, there are certain markets there where they would pretty much control all of the theme park options within a driving distance for people.
Yeah, I think I'd take a look at it. I don't know if it would be a huge deal just because there's Universal, there's Six Flags still, and there's also like Dollywood and those. But like I said, it would give them a huge advantage that they don't have now.
Mm-hmm. Yep, this is definitely something we're going to be keeping our eye on. Yep. All right, well, that brings us to the end of another podcast. We somehow survived a little flub here and there, but not too bad. Before we do say goodbye, however, we do have some listener thank yous that I want to share. In case you don't know, Attractions Magazine, we have a 4-tier subscription plan. And if you choose either of the top 2 tiers, that's Club or VIP, the week after you subscribe, you get a shout out from us here on the podcast. So this week we are giving great thanks to the following listeners: Elizabeth Jane Hughes, Donna Damasco, Leslie Strutt, and Rodney Luft. Thank you, all 4 of you, so much for subscribing. If you want to hear your name, just head on over to our website and sign up.
I just wanted to say our VIP subscriptions are on hold right now because we only have so many. So that's full. Once that... if some drop off for some reason, we'll open that back up, but you can still get the club. And like you say, you get a mention. You also get some exclusive stories and videos on our website and the current issues mailed out to you within the week or so of you signing up. So we appreciate it.
Yep. You can always also head on over to our website and pick up our winter issue of Attractions Magazine. Lots of great stuff in there. And finally, before we go, I want to thank once more our sponsor, Destinations with Character Travel. Please head over to their website for all your travel needs. And I also want to remind everyone, please give us a review on Apple Podcasts and also leave us a rating on Spotify. Finally, if you want to find more coverage from us and Attractions Magazine on the interwebs, you can find me at theunofficialguides.com or on Twitter at the UG Series or on Instagram at theunofficialguides. Matt, where can they find you in Attractions Magazine?
Attractions is either Attractions or Attractions Magazine on all the different socials. I think at Attractions on TikTok and Twitter, and at Attractions Magazine on Facebook, Snapchat. No, Snapchat Attractions Mag. We don't do too much on Snapchat, but all the others, it's Attractions Magazine.
Do you do a lot of TikTok yourself, Matt?
I do. I've been doing more. It's taken me a while to watch them and realize how this works and what's viral and what's not.
So, I need to up my TikTok game.
It's addictive. Once you start, you start scrolling through them. An hour passes and you're like, "Whoa, I'm still on TikTok." but we're doing pretty well on TikTok. We have a lot of fun. Some informative, some funny, some fun videos on TikTok. So check it out.
Well, if they ever let me sign up for TikTok, last time I tried, they said, "You're just too old. Go away." But if they ever let me sign up, I'll be subscribing. And until next week, I hope all you guys out there try something new, stay safe, but most importantly, have fun. And we will see you next time.
Bye. Thanks for joining us.